Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh, magnify
the Lord with me.
His name
together. Come on and magnify the Lord with me. His name
together.
Abuse,
and neglect. Yes, we're also licensed Pastoria counselors as well. So what we want to do today is we're going to talk about the effects of spiritual problems. Matter of fact, we had a great opportunity on last week to begin our discussion on the effects of spiritual problems. Now, you have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is now on the air. The Bible said, what we do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. So therefore, we're going to pray. Because the word says that man shall always pray and not to faint. Because we're not giving up, because we're here to tell it like it is, we're here that you can engage in a conversation with us if your desire is to do so. Now, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great and for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, God, for the great and the mighty things that you are doing, God, even now. We thank you truly that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And thy word, how we hid, we've hidden it in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we ask our request, God, that you look upon those that are in our audience as far as Texas, Chicago, Illinois, New York, God, whatever city or state that they may reside in. We ask you, Lord, God, to touch them even now. God, we ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, God, to do something special for them today. And God, cause this broadcast, cause what you have given us to give to them today to be a blessing for them today and every day. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we talked about the effects of spiritual problems on last week. And we want to be able to give you a update, to give you some kind of understanding as to what we discussed. Just in case you wasn't here, didn't get an opportunity to listen, we're just going to briefly go through some things and stimulate your understanding as to what we were talking about on the effects of spiritual problems. Well, there began to look at attitudes of pride. And attitudes of pride often leads to more pride. The Bible let us know that pride goes before destruction. If you don't want to have destruction in your life, that we must get rid of a lot of pride, because a lot of pride, a lot of things that goes on in our life is because we are walking around in pride. We're dressed up in it. Our mentality is a part of what causing problems, spiritual problems in our lives. And when we begin to think about sin, sin it stimulates more sin. And it also arouses the action and effort by encouraging a legalism in our life, things that we are so accustomed to, things that we have put before us, around us, things that we've heard, things that we rules that we have made up, things that we think in our mind that is that causing us to stumble are causing other people to stumble as well, which can be very assessive. So therefore, we want to talk about some things today that was going to help you to stimulate your way of thinking. Well, on last week, we talked about self-sufficiency. We talked about how sometimes self-sufficiency can get us into a lot of problems because we don't want to involve other people in what's going on in our lives. We want to do it ourselves And it's nothing wrong with doing things and being the lead, but yet we should involve others, because when you want to do everything by yourself, you don't want to engage anybody else in there. I think it can be sometimes cause problem or pride in our life. And so, therefore, I don't need you. I don't need what you have to offer, any advice that you have. I don't need you, your input on what is going on, because I have it together, and I can't get this done myself. Well, that can be a problem. Number one is when we're so self-sufficient, we're leaving other people out. We're not valuing the other person, so the other person can be able to be able to give their input on what is being done. And I think that's so necessary. And it's not all of the time that we have to basically use what the other person is saying, the ideas that they have. But there may be some great ideas that coming from another person, a great idea that is coming from a group of people. And we should not be the lone ranger and try to be so self-sufficient that we don't need anybody help. When we talk about self-sufficient, we can have, as we talked about last week, we can have distorted values. And our values can be so distorted because of the fact that we are doing it our way and we're not listening, we're not reading, we're not allowing other people to be a part of the value system. And there are some values in our life that we know that, and some of them are very good values, things that we have lived by from year by year, and things that was taught to us by our parents and teachers and professors. And so, therefore, the structure of it all was very good. We had grandparents in our life that developed great values in us. But sometimes we develop things in our lives that is very distorted. And because of the fact we are so full of pride, so full of having it our way, that our value system, we have to take another look at it to see, is it really value? Is it something that's going to be fruitful, something that's going to cause things to bring about change and be able to bring about growth, to be able to bring about increase? So, therefore, we have to examine our distorted values, and our value sometimes is very distorted. And when we look at it within ourselves, we don't sometimes see our ideas of the value of what we think. And for instance, there may be a person that's brought up in a home, and the father and the mother, they didn't allow the child to do certain things, and their parents brought them up, and certain things that they taught them, the certain things that they believed in, could be very distorted. It could not hurt you, but not the truth. So, therefore, when we don't allow Christ in our lives, and we don't allow other views of things, and I'm not talking about speaking of the Word of God itself. I am a Christian counselor, so you're going to expect for me to talk about the Word of God. I live the Word of God. I study the Word of God, and therefore what's in me going to automatically come out of me. This is my value system according to the Word of God. So I'm telling you that sometime when we self-righteous in our thinking, it will cause us to have values that are not pleasing to God, and very much so it's not pleasing to others as well. Sometimes we can lose friendship because of our distorted values. And I did make mention on last week about the professor, the coach who had a lot of young men around him, that he he had the opportunity, he had the ability to be able to soar in their life. But yet, because of his distorted value, what was already given in the young men or something that was not actually sound in them, then they could have been easily led, or they did it because they wanted to further their opportunity and their career. So we see that this person had some very distorted values. Now we have to, as a parent, because I am a parent, and we have to make sure that our sons and our daughters don't fall into the same situation, that their value system is distorted. There are many things that we have taught them as they grew up, and we want them to be able to use these things and then grow, increase even the more in things that as they grow. But we want them to be able to do this in the correct way. Sometimes we have misunderstanding. I hope you're taking notes today, because I think it's very important. So when the broadcast is over, you can go back and you can reflect on some of the things that we are speaking about. Sometimes we don't completely understand the misunderstanding with other people. Somebody make a statement, and because you did not understand what they were saying, then we can bring about friction, bring about separation because of the fact that it was a misunderstanding. It's not all the time that the person says something incorrectly. It's because of the fact we didn't understand where they was coming from and what they were saying, or were they reflecting on something that we have said or done, or are they talking about me, or did the person verbally give you said something to you and you didn't get the understanding. It could be like that even on jobs. You know, your administrator, supervisor, director, they may have said something and you clearly, your intention was good, but you had a misunderstanding altogether as to what they said or what they meant. So therefore, we have to look at many things as to whether or not how we have the wrong perception about certain things and misunderstanding, because that can bring about friction, that can bring separation. So the next thing is that we're just kind of going through some things we talked about on last week, and the other one would be of selfishness. How many people do you know that you're selfish? You have to ask yourself the question first. Well, are you a selfish person? Are you easy to get along? Do you like to think about yourself other than others? Is it me, myself, and I in the picture all the time, instead of letting other people take a part of being nice to them, or being generous to them, or thinking about them instead of how am I going to get ahead? How am I going to get this position? So a lot of times when we are trying to climb the ladder, sometimes people can be very selfish in their pursuit to try to get ahead. So we have to make sure, you know, we have to really examine ourselves to make sure that we are living according to God's word and that we're doing those things that's going to bring glory unto God. And after all, these are the things that we want to do in order to please God, because he is number one and should be number one in our life. And then we've talked about distorted values. We talk about self-sufficiency, which is under, when you think about self-sufficiency, which is, we can think about distorted values, misunderstanding, selfishness, and then the next will be a theological error. So there is some time that your understanding, again, or either what you read, it can be an error. It doesn't mean that what you read is how you understood the situation, or is it factual, is it true, is it according, is it sound, is it according to the word of God? or so sometimes people get into arguments about things, and it's going to be about the scripture, about things that they've read, and they error because they are in error because of the fact they don't clearly have a sound understanding of what is being said or what was said, or they can quote something that's totally incorrect, or they can give their views of something that is totally incorrect. So the next thing would be non-biblical thinking, non-biblical thinking. And that can be dangerous as well because of the fact that we should, everything we do, I think the Bible should be reflected in it. I'm not saying that you, every word that you say, you may be in a board meeting, you may be on television or whatever, but and you're speaking and you, I'm not saying that you have to and always speak and come out a point that you're trying to make. It should always reflect of the Word of God, even though you may not exactly say that, but yet I believe that the Word of God says, let your light so shine before men that others will see your good work and to glorify the Father which is in heaven. He said, to be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Spirit. So therefore, sometimes we don't think biblically in what we're saying. We don't think biblically as to what we're doing. We don't think it biblically where we're going. You know, you ought to think, there was a saying some time ago, what would Jesus do? And I think that's very important to us on the day, that our reflection, what we think, and how we carry ourselves should be on what Jesus would do. When we don't have any type of biblical thinking, we can certainly can be able to cross the line of danger. When we don't think the way that the scripture instructs us, and we don't read and we don't have that a part of our life. I'm not saying that everything you say that you, because it has to be, Jesus said this and Jesus said that, because there's a time and there's a season for everything. But what Jesus does say, we can have that reflected in what we say and how we are instructing others or how our presentation should be accordingly. Even if you never say that you're saved, your lifestyle should reflect that you are saved. And I know a really believer would, in some time in their life, and I dare say not sometime, but there should be numerous of times in our life that we will reflect and we will let people know whose side that we're on. And we don't have to make it a big issue because it is what it is, you know, the lifestyle that we live. So I still believe that we don't have biblical thinking. I think a lot of times if it's not biblical, it's not according to the Word of God, then it must be not God, you know, because I think everything, no matter what we do, it has to reflect, it should be reflective on what the Word of God says. Now, last week we talked about creeping vine. And creeping vine, it keeps us from, which when they begin to grow, it keeps us from getting what we need. It destroy our life. Creeping vines, it can get larger and it can squeeze, a vine can, it can squeeze the life and the vicious out of a spiritual life. It can, things that pay attention to what God is saying to us, if we don't pay attention to the word, it can be like a, because we begin our values be distorted so that it will eventually strangle us. It will eventually squeeze life out of us because it is not according to what the Word of God says. So I'll say, for instance, if you are saved and you've been born again, your life should not change or alter by the things of this world, of the people in this world. Your life should still shine, and it should shine even brighter because of who you are. If we don't do this, we'll be like those creeping vines that get larger and larger, and it can squeeze a life out of spiritually life. And that's something we have to really reflect on, thinking about. And you have to ask yourself this question: have this creeping vine, have it already began to squeeze out my spiritual life, things in my life? So it's so much for us to kind of take in today and to think about. And I hope you're really taking hold of some things that we're saying. We talk about spiritual effects. With spiritual problems are left unchecked, they can lead to compromising sinful behavior. When spiritual problems are left unchecked, so we can't let spiritual problems be left unchecked because it can lead to a sinful behavior. And even though that say that they are believers, and some people that say, well, you know, I believe in God and I go to church, but then you start staying out of church. Then you start reading your Bible. And then you begin to do things that you didn't do before or you wasn't thinking about doing before, but now you are letting these things cause you to have a sinful behavior because it didn't mean, and the value of it wasn't as much value now as it was before. When we are in sync with Christ, we are letting nothing separate us. We're letting no person, no individual, no supervisor, no director, no president of a company, no inside person keep us from doing those things that are right and just in our life. We do not want to have a sinful behavior. Well, sometimes we could have increasing tendencies to, as we said before, to miss worship service and personal devotion. You're not spending time in prayer. You are not taking the time out to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ in your prayer time. You begin to not go to church and go to service so you can hear the Word of God. And you're not taking any time to study the Word of God neither. Well, the Word of God is a study to show that stuff approved unto God. A workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the Word of truth. So therefore, we want truth. We want the Word of God. And we want Christ in our personal devotion time. So we have to be careful about that. Then we find it's a decreasing sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We don't let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and control our lives. So if we're not letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide and control our lives, and we're not sensitive to these things, then we find ourselves in a sinful behavior. How about hypocrisy and phoniness? You've seen that. You know about that. You have to ask yourself, is this something that I'm experiencing, that I'm doing? Have I grown so poor that I'm living a hypocritical type life? And am I being a phony? Something I'm living right. I seem to be living right on Sundays. I'm in the choir. I'm ushering on the usher board. I'm a greeter or whatever. But then when I go, when I leave the church on Sunday, then I'm altogether different. The people in the church would not even recognize me if I continually to do what I'm doing because of the fact I'm different at the church. But Monday through Saturday, my lifestyle is so destructive. It's so different. It's so phony. So therefore, sometimes we're so concerned about people, the pastor not seeing us, the elder. We are so concerned about the motherboard not seeing us or correcting us. We're so concerned about some of the people sometimes in church. But where is our devotion and our love to Christ? How do you think he sees you? And don't you realize that he sees you and he knows where you are every time. Every time he is with you. I mean, he knows where you are. And, you know, I was just thinking about the Elisha, how Gehazi, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, who worked and was with him, how the Naaman was Lord used the prophet Elisha to bring about healing of his leprosy. But we see that this man, while the prophet was praying, he wanted to greed fill his heart. And I don't think it just was there. He decided that he was going to go take what they had was going to offer to his master. His master had already refused it. And yet, he did not want, Gehazi did not want the man of God to know that he was taking things, that he was going to go and he was going to take some of the valuable things that that Naaman had brought to him that the man of God did not accept or take. And sometimes we can so cause ourselves to get in trouble. Because when we think about this man, because of what he did, the Naaman had leprosy, and Naaman was healed of his leprosy. But that leprosy, that aim that he had, this man of God that was walking with the man of God, his servant, got leprosy, and I think he had leprosy until the day that he passed away. So therefore, these are one of the distorted values that we have. These are some of the hypocrisy, pretending to be with the man of God, continue to be true. But then one day, God allowed what he was doing and what he was thinking to be exposed. And the leprosy, the disease, that skin disease that he had, that Naaman had, came on this man because he was so phony and because his values, his behavior was not according to God's word. Then we talk about boredom. How many times you say, oh, I am so bored. I don't want to go to church, and I don't want to hear what the preacher is going to say. I don't have time for that. And I'm bored. I don't want to hear. I don't want to be a part of any religious activities. So we can see that person that was once a part of that, we can see that this person, they're slowly getting out of the will of the Father. They're slowly beginning to live in that sinful life. They are slowly being taken in by the enemy, and the enemy is the devil. So we have to begin to think about, you know, when we start don't want to go to church, and when we don't want to be around religious people. And I'm not saying religious, and I hate to say religious, because religion is a duty. You know, religion is not going to save anybody. The Bible said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, the word of God said we shall be saved. So I just want to know that religion itself, because a lot of people is living a religious life. Like I said before, they're doing things 6 days a week, 7 days, straighten up, and they go in and they're pretending that they are somebody that they are not. And sometimes when that happens, you see people start drifting away from the body of Christ and drifting away from church because of the fact they say that they're bored. They don't want to partake in what God has for them. So, therefore, here we are, and that's what they do. All right. And we also talk about they have a greater tendency towards self-reliance. We talk about early how they rely upon themselves. You know, I don't need you, and you don't need me. I'm going to do my thing. You do your thing. I'm going to find this way of getting what I need, and you can do the same thing. But the answer is to anything that we need in life is that answer is Jesus Christ himself. We can live according, because God has given us fruits of the Spirit, if there are nine of them, by the way. And when we examine those fruits, one is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And just to say something about a few of them, we talked about it last week, but the Word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we talk about joy. Well, joy, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sometimes we feel like we don't have any stress because we don't have any joy. So therefore we need some joy in our life. And that true joy can only come from Christ Jesus. And then somebody may say, oh my goodness, if I could just get some peace, if I can just have a peace of mind, I can just be by myself. And if I can just be at peace with myself and others. Well, Jesus said, if we keep our mind stayed upon him, he said that he will keep us in perfect peace. So the answer is already there, that we have to keep our mind on him. How are we going to keep our mind on him if we don't study the word of God? When the word of God says, again, it's better to show thyself approved unto God. A workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said that we shall know truth, and the truth will make us free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So therefore, we need joy, love, we need peace, and we need patience. We need to be patient one with another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We need to take time with people. We need to be kind to people. How many people are treating people so ugly and so short with them? That should not be. That means something is out of order in you if you're mistreating other people, you know, or vice versa, something wrong with them. So, but however, God wants us to be patient, want to be kind. Kindness is, I mean, really, sometimes when people mistreat you and you're still kind to them, you know, they're going to have to refrain from that ugliness and wickedness, or they're going to walk away. So both of you all cannot be kind, unkind one to another. So it's just so many things that we can talk about. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, self-control in all of them is something that we should be able and should have within ourselves. You may say, well, self-control is a person that gets angry and they can't control their feeling. Yes, that's true. They have their behavior is not according to God's word. Also, self-control could mean so many things. You don't have to self-control of what you eat, self-control of how you can be in a violent situation with people, with your wife and your husband, and you do things. You may, I've seen one broadcast, was looking at something, and there was a man there, and he said that he was afraid sometimes what he would do. He got so angry. Said he's almost turning rage because of the fact he was at the point of going to choke his wife. And the lady was asked this question, what were you doing while he was at the point about choking you? She replied that she was just waiting. She just letting him choke her. And if he seemed like, if he had his hand around her neck and seemed like, I guess if she couldn't breathe, then she'll try to fight back. Now, that's someone that has lost respect for themselves, somebody that don't want to live, apparently, and she's so used to being in this type of position. So we have to have self-respect for ourselves. Don't let anybody take out self-respect, and don't let anybody brutally misuse us. Anger and rage is something that we need to talk about even the more. Really does mean for us talking about anger and rages. Sometimes we can be in a situation that the spiritual effect, things that we're going to, it may not be evident immediately in our lives. Sometimes we may not know. Nobody else may know, but eventually they're going to come to the surface. Because you can be assured what's in you is going to come out of you. I don't care what it is. If kindness in you, that kindness is going to come out. If you're a bitter person or resentful person, it's going to come out. If you're a person that likes to battle people, it will come out. If you have spiritual dryness inside of you, it will come. Sometimes people are like actors. Spiritual people sometimes can be like actors. They're good actors. They just let, they acting a part. And that's something that we should not be in our everyday life, day-to-day, acting a part. We're spiritually dry on the inside. We know that we're dry. We know that we don't have the substance. We know that we don't have what it takes, but we're not doing anything in order to make things better. And so, therefore, dryness on the inside. Also, if we can just sometimes, there are people, they are spiritually dry, and then they have this jargon, this theological type jargon. Like, you know, they say all the right things. You know, hey, man, I love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But really, on the inside, they are completely dry. They need to be saturated with the word of God. Would you just look at what has happened again? We are at that point that we're going to have to take a break to cut off for today. But think about some of the things that we've said to you today that you can examine your spiritual life. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God, for this broadcast, for the Crossroad broadcast. And we thank you, God, for all of those that impartake, all those that was being able to hear, that was a hearer of the word, not just doers, but a hearer and a doer of the word. And I thank you, God, that the dry, the spiritually dry, God, that they don't continue to act and that they don't continue to act like they have something that they don't have on as a true saint and as a true believer. So I ask you today, God, to whatever that they need on the inside, I pray even now that you will make a change, because, God, you are able to make a change in all of our lives. God, your words say that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, God, there are times when we are so far from where we need to be in you. So, therefore, we ask thee, Lord Jesus, God, to touch that woman and that man, that boy, that girl, whoever they may be, that, God, that they can be revived, that they can be restored, God, that they could be in that place, God, that you will have them to be today, tomorrow, the next day, and forever. And, God, I will dare not to take this opportunity, the Lord, to invite those that do not know you as personal Savior. God, you say that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. You say, God, that we shall be saved. Your word let us know that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I am that whosoever, you are that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we thank you, God, for giving us yet an opportunity to believe your word, to change our lives, to be able to say yes to your will and yes to your way. God, we don't want to be hypocritical in our walk. We don't want to be phonies in our walk with you. So, Lord, change us today that the life that we live, it will be live for you. And this we will thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Crossroad Broadcast with Pastor Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Tune in with us on next week. Our guest will be Dr. June Normill. And we will continue with the broadcast on another topic. May God bless and keep you. Yes. Our prayer.